There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad to have you here and easy to get in touch with the show. 343-0106, 343-0106 for a text or a phone call. And with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can also drop us one of those talkback messages. You'll see the microphone icon on the front page of the app. If you press that thing, you mash it, lets you record a message, and then it emails it to the show, and we can play it back here on the air. And I see some people already, yeah, I was going to comment on this. I was hanging out with two of my friends on Saturday night, both graduates of Murphy. And yeah, we will talk about the 100-0 Williamson. And there's some, I guess, nuance to the story. But, you know, in high school ball, like if you're like really way out in front, you do things to make it not just a slaughter. And, well, we'll talk about that. Also, we'll talk about politics in the state of Alabama and football at the same time. I'll throw him into the mix. It's our friend Todd Stacey with Alabama Daily News and Capital Journal joining us now. Todd, did you... Like, we could talk about football over the weekend, or as I mentioned to Jeff at the end of his show, maybe the best path into politics in Alabama is to either coach a team or talk about the coaches in Alabama. You see this Feinbaum thing?
I guess you're talking about Feinbaum. I mean, was really surprised to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, I was waiting when I saw that, and I know Paul, and when I saw the, like, the Dalton said, oh, you could go see what happened here, and I said, oh, he's probably going to make a mockery of it and say, no way, you know, make some joke. Then you go watch it, and I'm like, well, he's not saying no in this thing. This is very interesting.
It is, and I mean, I don't think it's the same thing as Tuberville. I really don't, because, as an Auburn guy, I certainly have no love for Feinbaum over the years. He's not been kind.
Oh, come on.
Auburn
You're one of the, yes, the Auburn people that think he's 100% Alabama, right? He never says anything about you're so predictable.
Well, he
Stacey.
Has been. He's made before his time at SEC Network and ESPN, I mean, he made his bones off of just really, you know, being a tighter, being for the Tide, and that's fine. I'm just saying, you know, he's made a career out of ticking people off over the years, and that's not exactly how you get elected. And plus, this is the first time.
Wait a second. You're telling me Tuberville was beyond reproach when it came to things that would make an Alabama fan angry?
No, but I mean, Alabama had some pretty bad teams back then, and Tuberville's sweep really ushered in the Saban era. You know, at least he made sure how to, you know, kind of loop that. The other thing is, I'm not really convinced on Feinbaum's conservative bona fides.
Yeah,
I'm pretty
nor am
sure
I.
He said some pretty progressive things over the years.
Yep.
You know, everybody changes and everything, but I'm pretty sure he was a pretty dyed-in-the-wool Democrat there for a pretty long time.
Maybe that's the Trump of... I agree. I mean, but that's the... But
course,
that's
yeah,
a Trump
so
effect.
Trump.
Yeah, it's a Trump effect. You know, that's the message put out there. All right, well, that's out there in the ether. We will talk about that later on the show. And I did text Paul. I said, man, if you're going to make an announcement, make it on my dang show. So hopefully he'll text me back here. But a couple of stories I picked out of the email that will tell folks how to get from yesterday and today. First one, and you know I stay on a warpath about this. It is predictable. My feeling about the ABC board in Alabama, not having the ABC, but having the retail portion of it. This is now, we're going to be paying for a new liquor warehouse here if we're buying booze. What's the story here for the ABC's big warehouse somewhere in the state.
Yeah, so a lot of people, I mean, I've learned a lot over the last couple of years with Mary Sell reporting on this, but a lot of people may not realize that whether you buy liquor from an ABC store or another retail outlet, it first comes into the state and it gets warehoused and inventoried at a ABC warehouse. And there's just, you know, the fact is there's been a lot more demand for alcohol, for liquor over the last couple of years. So they say that their warehouse in Montgomery, they've got a couple of them, but they've got a big one in Montgomery. They say it's not big enough, and so we're going to have to build one. They're currently building one. It's almost finished. So you got to pay for it somehow, and they're going to the board, the ABC board, has passed a 72-cent fee on each case of their product stored in an ABC warehouse. That means they're essentially going to be charging retailers. But we all know what happens with that. We learned this with tariffs, right? When you put a fee or a tax or a tariff on a business, then they are going to raise their prices. So yes, it would end up costing anybody who goes and purchases liquor, whether it's a ABC store itself or another retail outlet. So yeah, I mean, this is part of Mary's lead here was it's drawing aggravation from state lawmakers, specifically one of the two most powerful state senators, Greg Allbritton and Arthur Orr, saying, what in the world are we doing here? Why are we in this, why is the state in this liquor sales business? That's been a question for decades, you know that. But they're kind of hopeful that maybe Tuberville might come in and have a different view on it. But the tough part is, Sean, as we've probably talked about before, when you come in and see just how much revenue is produced and what we would do to figure out that out, that's why other governors in the past have not gone whole hog into trying to reform this. Alcohol sales and the taxes on it produce a ton of revenue for the state, and until there's a solution to figure out how to replace that, it's tough to see the state actually doing it.
Yeah, that's always the argument made, right? Well, there's too much money, so this needs to stay. I think it is interesting, though, that we could still, you wouldn't get the retail revenue, but this, you know, the excise taxes and all that, ABC, and I know we're not going to sit and spend the whole time with this, but ABC could still take in the money as it comes in, right? They could come in, put the taxes on it, and then let the free market sell the product once they've taken their cut of it versus being in the retail game. That's just always bothered me. And the fact that they, you know, lease spaces for ABC stores versus putting them in places the state already owns. And this, I mean, there's a lot to this, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not in the retail business. I don't know much about it at all. But, you know, if there was a way to open it up, I mean, look, a lot of states still do this. Virginia comes to mind. It's pretty tightly regulated there, but
it's a commonwealth, by the way. Commonwealths do it, right? Virginia does it. Pennsylvania does it. Every one of them is called a commonwealth. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure that you could devise a plan that replaced ABC as a retailer, not as an agency. We need oversight over
these
things.
I agree.
But as a retailer and fix the taxes to where the revenue was the same. But I tell you what, you know, it would be really interesting. I bet retailers in Alabama, specifically grocery stores, would love to have in on this and would probably be open to, you know, paying some taxes because, I mean, right now, it's not like, you know, Florida, you go into Winn-Dixie, you're going to Publix, there's a liquor store attached, right? Yep. We don't have that here. And so I know that the grocery industry would absolutely like to get in on that. Maybe that could be part of this.
Well, yeah, and they will push it. They probably have more lobbyists, right, working for them. But I'm thinking about just individual, you know, Stacy's Liquors, Sullivan's Liquors, which Lord knows if you Google, there's probably the Irish. There's probably a thousand Sullivan's Liquors out there.
Absolutely, yeah. Sullivan's Liquors.
But you know what I'm saying? Like that you know, because I mean, if we swap booze for hamburgers. And said, hamburgers come into the state of Alabama. And you could say, okay, well, there's a federal agency to make sure the meat's right or whatever, and they're going to tax it coming in. But then we're also going to have state hamburger stands. They're going to compete with private. I mean, people say that's crazy. I mean, this is a legacy of days gone by to have them in the retail portion. I don't know. It's
right. I mean, 100 years ago, alcohol was illegal.
Yep.
You know, you couldn't have it at all, and so this is a product of that. And it's kind of like, I mean, what you're saying is a lot what Senator Orr told Mary for this article, saying, if you were just designing state government right now, would we have this? You know, if we were just drawing up a new state government, would we have this? And the answer is obviously no. So now, again, it's easier said than done, but every time this issue comes up, it's interesting because it starts one of these debates. And, you know, who knows? Arthur Orr brings a bill every year to do this. Maybe mm-hmm. we'll get more discussion this year.
Yeah, he comes on. He's also talked about how his family was solicited to have ABC stores in some of their retail malls and strip malls, their real estate. I don't know if you ever heard him. He's on here. He said, yeah, by the way, I got mm-hmm. they came to me and said, hey, we sure would like to rent some places in your shopping centers.
I'll tell you what that sounds like to me.
Yeah. And I'm not savvy like Todd Stacey. I'm just some hayseed here in Mobile. And I went, oh, okay. So, yeah, we'll continue with that. But I don't want to run out of time either, because this one in the email, Ivy won't call special session to draw new Senate districts. Now, talk us through this one, because this has been, you know, of discussion. This would have to happen, right, with a special session. I know I've talked to Chris Pringle about it and others. What does this mean?
Right. So ever since they, this is different than congressional redistricting. We're kind of censored that for right now,
yeah.
But this is on the state Senate. Last month in August, a federal judge ruled that Alabama's Senate map was in violation of the Voting Rights Act. Same mm-hmm. issue with packing voters and all that. A single Montgomery district, right? There's talking about one district, but obviously you mess with one district, it starts messing with all of them. But, so the judge has said we need a new map to be in place before the 2026 elections, right? We're all getting ready for these 2026 elections. Well, normally that means calling a special session of the legislature and passing a new map.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't necessarily have to. And this is what the governor said the other day. She just came out and said, look, I'm not going to call a special session. To me, there's a couple of reasons. One is practical. And one is political. The
okay.
practical reason is we don't know. The Supreme Court probably next month is going to rule on this larger redistricting case that could impact lots of states, Alabama.
The Louisiana one?
Right.
Yeah.
Louisiana case, similar to Alabama, except almost a mirror image. Like it's almost converse. But it's ripe for the kind of decision that could ultimately tell states what they're supposed to do, because there's a lot of confusion right now. I mean, even when Alabama tries to comply with the law or the Constitution, because they are in conflict sometimes, we get struck down by these federal judges. So practically, it doesn't really make a lot of sense to go and waste time and money on a special session only to have our map rejected again until that court case is worked out. So why don't the courts just do it themselves? Just like what happened in the last round of redistricting, you know, the legislature went in, passed a new map. It was rejected. The courts just went and drew it themselves. And so that's the practical reason. There's also a political reason here. And that is that, okay, yeah, she could call the legislature in this week to come and draw new maps. But ultimately that means the Republican leadership really having to screw one of their own members, having to really put him out, make it hard for him to win re-election. That's not fun to do. So why do that? Why spend the time and money and political capital doing all that when the judge is she's just going to do it herself anyway, and it may not matter after this Supreme Court ruling. So that's the long and short of it.
Okay. Well, there you go. Because when I saw that was happening, I was wondering if there was more to it, but I understand it from, and we'll see. I mean, you talk to some people, they're like, oh, yeah, the Supreme Court's going to go this way on the Louisiana case. But then there's others say, well, look what they've done in the past. You know, this and you know, how is the Louisiana case different than the previous bite at the apple on redistricting? I don't know. What do you think? I mean, you think that they're going to side with Louisiana or not?
Well, it's interesting because it's actually not. Well, again,
not
the tables have kind of
yeah.
turned.
Yeah.
Right. So, in my heart of hearts, if I had to bet, I would say yes, the Supreme Court understands that there is a serious conflict here and that states need direction. Now, it matters how that case is presented. One of the things that mattered in Alabama's case, at least when it reached the Supreme Court, is I don't think we had a very good plan. Our state was trying to overturn way more than needed to be overturned. And so it just wasn't a very good case. The court was not going to take Alabama's redistricting case, the aggressive maps that were drawn in the Senate, and just overturn, you know, the Voting Rights Act. I mean, that's just not something they were going to do. This is a little different kind of case. It's actually more nuanced, more novel. And I think they could. I really think they could offer states some guidance here of how to draw districts with, you know, by complying with all these rules. Now, some of that means, yes, doing away with parts of the Voting Rights Act, but they've got to be delicate in how they do that. Voting Rights Act is not all bad. It just has some outdated mandates in it that make it really tough for states to actually be in compliance.
100%. Todd, people want to get the email here that we've been talking about. How do they get signed up?
It's really easy. Just go to aldailynews.com. That's the homepage. You can sign up right there on the homepage. Enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list.
All right. And Capital Journal?
As always, we're on the air Fridays and Saturday, and Fridays at 7:30, Sundays at noon. It's always online on YouTube. Just go to YouTube, search Capital Journal. You can catch up with past episodes.
Okay. And you're a no on Feinbaum for Senate, right? You don't think this is putting you down?
Wow, in the world would he pass up that paycheck?
There you go. All right, Todd, I appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon.
All right, Tom.
There goes Todd Sazer. You're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
Want a skill that lasts a lifetime? The South Alabama Home Building Academy provides free trade training in electrical, HVAC, plumbing, carpentry, and roofing. Apply now at gobuildmobile.org.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:26, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. By the way, coming up a little after 1 o'clock, Caroline Dobson, running for Secretary of State, is going to join us. Remember, we talked about this last week, too, that both Sorrell and Dobson have said they would believe the state's Secretary of State should have more oversight of municipal elections. And speaking of which, there's more conversation here about what happened in Mobile in the runoff. You had the story over at Lanyap. And we'll talk some about that. Judge Mark Irwin has talked some more about this. I guess that was on Friday at a presser. He's going to join us also tomorrow on the show to discuss what happened on the runoff and the people showing up and being told that they were inactive voters and going to the provisional and all that. We'll talk about that some more. But tomorrow at noon, Mark Irwin, our guest here on Midday Mobile. All right. You know what? I'll get to the text after I read the story. That out of all the things I've mentioned here, the Feinbaum for Senate thing is obviously getting a lot of attention. The story from On3, so the you know, sports site, said, report Paul Feinbaum considering run for U.S. Senate seat in Alabama and leaving ESPN. I don't know how much of this read the story and then I'll maybe comment on some things here. Said ESPN's Paul Feinbaum's reportedly considering leaving the network to run as the Republican candidate for the top U.S. Senate seat in Alabama. He told OutKick's Clay Travis that the assassination of activist Charlie Kirk made him rethink his priorities. Now 70 years old, Feinbaum could see a major career change. He told OutKick that he struggled to do his show following the news of Kirk's death. A quote from him, he said, I spent 4 hours numb talking about things that didn't matter to me, and it kept building throughout that weekend. I felt very empty doing what I was doing that day. It's hard to describe not being involved in politics, how that affected me and affected tens of millions of people all over this country, and it was an awakening. End quote. So it was, you know, he goes on and said, Feinbaum's reaction to the news of Kirk's death really changed the way he thought, as he told Travis on his sports radio show amid, he said, the way he thought, as he told Travis, a sports radio show amid the news seemed irrelevant. Now he could take his career in the direction of politics. He went on to say, one or two people in Washington had reached out to me on whether I would be interested in politics, something I never thought about before, something I really didn't think was possible. I gave some thought to it as the weekend unfolded after Kirk's murder, and I got a little bit more interested, end quote. So, and also it goes on, he went on to say, I was hesitant at first. I was very aware of Bruce's interest. He means Bruce Pearl. I'm a huge fan of Bruce. I didn't take it too seriously. Feinbaum went on to say, I ended up talking to someone who made it clear that there was a desire to, for me to be involved. And this person was compelling and compassionate in approach to me. And I started thinking about this, end quote. So Feinbaum went on to say, I've never said this before, but why am I going to hold this back? I just moved and registered in Alabama, but I am a registered Republican in North Carolina as of this hour, and I was a registered Republican in Alabama before I moved, end quote. So I put that out just to, because some of the text here were saying, well, he's a Democrat. Well, he's registered Republican in Alabama before he left. He was in North Carolina. And by the way, somebody said, which texter? I don't know. Give y'all a nickname, but this texter said, I've been listening to Paul Feinbaum for many years and noticed the past few months he's been referencing that he lives in Birmingham and this and that, and he's never done that before. It's because he moved back to Birmingham. So he moved back from North Carolina to Birmingham over the last couple months. So that's why, because he is back. He is back in Alabama. All right, we'll pick this up on the other side of the news, which is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Get to some text here. Get Feinbaum text and some text from earlier. Let's go. And we get to the Murphy Williamson story as well. Let's see here. Da-da-da-da. Yeah, people say, I thought he was a Democrat. Well, there he is. He's been a registered Republican. He does live in Alabama now. Let's see. Da-da-da. Ultra Runner said, has Mamdani pointed to our ABC stores as proof of successful government-run stores yet? How can we let this socialist atrocity persist? It's Alabama, Ultra Runner. I've been talking about this for years. And I mean, it's been a decade or so ago that I was pushing against it. And I got myself and other people were put in like some responses from the ABC board. And people like me, they're pointing at me in the story and said, people like me wanted, and I am paraphrasing here, but like no regulations and no enforcement. And I was like, this is the dumbest thing ever. As you know, I mean, it's a red herring of an argument. I'm for the ABC board making sure kids aren't getting booze. Okay, I'm for that. And if the state in our formula wants to collect the excise tax as the booze comes into the state, fine. Why do they need, and because they, when I said, why do they need to be in the retail business? They said, well, they employ, you know, I think it was 600 something people in the state and all the, okay, that's good, but that doesn't mean the state needs to be in that business. The state could open, you know, chicken finger places too and employ a bunch of people, but it's not the job of government. So I'm not for, like, they point out, like, oh, well, if he disagrees with the retail stores or ABC, he wants no, I keep the kids from drinking the booze, still make the excise tax money, just get out of the private sector, let private capital get invested and compete for selling liquor like anything else. It's just, it's Alabama, Ultra Runner. It really is. Let's see. Billy D says, Billy D said, Sean, you know who talked to him? Meaning Feinbaum put a bug in his ear. It was Coach Man, not Bruce Pearl, though. Yeah, I think it might have been he dances around who it is, and I have not asked him personally who it was. He may not even tell me. But it's interesting. You go through and listen to what he says here. He's like, I expected when I heard that he did this conversation about it, I thought he'd be the normal coy and funny Paul Feinbaum and joke, like make jokes about it. And this is not something But to see, you know, how much he was moved by the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And, you know, and the question is, too, let's just say this. He is such a brand in our state, right? To us, he's timeless. But if you're at ESPN, where I'm sure the average age of their commentators is a lot younger, how does he do it for another 10 years doing sport? I don't know. When does ESPN change? Is this the direction to go? I don't know. Hopefully I'll get him on and we'll talk about it going forward. I think he's a thinking man, you know. I mean, he doesn't just do things without thinking it through. So I'll have to say he probably has some, he said he thought about it and went through the discussion about it and was it the right things. And I truly believe, knowing him, that that's how he would do it. He wouldn't just go, oh, well, yeah, somebody just asked me a question, I'm just going to spout off like that. That's not the Paul I know. Let's see. B-Dark said, if you had the choice to coach a college team or an NFL team, which one would you choose? In today's world, B-Dark, it still would be college. Yeah. I just don't have a lot of interest in pro ball, unless I'm watching it to see like a, you know, Bama player on there. I'm just a college football guy. That's who I am. Let's see. Jason, Sean, you've mentioned in the past that you're friends with Sherman Williams. As his friend, would you tell him his job isn't for him? He's contributing to the humiliation of those kids, and he needs to step away. I'll talk to Sherman about it. I'm not going to do it right now. But what we're talking about is that score from Friday night. And like I said, when this hit my inbox, it was Saturday, and I was hanging out with some buddies up in Washington County, but both of them had gone to MUR, FFY, Murphy High. And I said, man, y'all got not just beaten, y'all got way beaten. And a story from KRG says, one Gulf Coast team made history. In week 6 of the 2025 high school football season, the Williamson Lions dominated the Murphy Panthers at home with a final score of 100-0. According to Max Preps, it's the first time a team from Alabama has scored 100 points in a game in more than half a century. Said the Lions led by 73-0 at halftime and then hit 100 points with just over a minute left in the game. Number 3, Williamson, 5-0, is on the road to Friday night, takes on Faith Academy Rams, 1-4. Well, there we go. They'll probably do it again. You know, you've been in those, if you play ball, you've been in those games, right? Remember one of them from my unillustrious high school football career? I wasn't walking on anywhere. I was not recruited anywhere, but I played. That I remember, like, one game that we were so far ahead, the coach was saying things like, we're going to fumble the ball. He's telling the quarterback. I played defense, but I mean, hearing the conversations, we're going to fumble the ball. We're going to make these mistakes. I remember specifically, and heck, I was, 16 at the time, 53 now, and I still remember it, the coach saying, yeah, we're not going to try to score anymore. You know, the conversation I heard is they were offered to do a running clock and shorter quarters and all that stuff. And Murphy did not take that. That's tough. That's tough on those kids. That's for sure. Maybe Sherman's listening. Jason, maybe he's listening. If he is, I mean, he and I'll talk. Let's see. DEI Texter says, Alabama doesn't have voter registration by party. What are you talking about? Can you give me some context on that? DEI Texter says, Daniel and Foley, elections have consequence. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Billy D says, Sean, not if I beat you to it first. It probably will, because I don't know if he'll text back and forth before he comes on there. So let's see. This one from Tim. I don't listen to Paul. His callers are pretty silly. Oh, they're fantastic. They're fantastic in the silly. B-Dark says, thank you, Sean. First time you've ever agreed with me. I don't think so, B-Dark. I think we've agreed in the past. Let's see. This from another unnamed texter. Come on, y'all. Give yourself a nickname here or your real name or whatever. Said, thoughts on the Murphy Williamson. Where was the athletic director or principal to step in and overrule the decision Sherman made not to agree to running the clock or shortening the quarter state minutes? Someone should have stepped in to help save himself. Yeah, because, I mean, it is the children, right, that deal with that. I mean, obviously the coaches do as well, but that's the kids don't get to make the decision on that. That goes to the head coach. Daniel and Foley says, I hope New York gets what they vote for. It's about Mamdani. I hope, you know what, I think the best thing you could have happen is Mamdani win. I really do. Because I think, number one, I don't live in New York. I got a sister who lives in New York, which, I mean, she'd probably be down with that, having him as the mayor. But I think it's the best thing to do. Let it go and see what happens. And then it can be a, I believe it'll be a cautionary tale. I do not think it will be successful. And you can use it as an example out there. Okay. Oh, thank you. DEI Tester said, you read Feinbaum's statement that he registers a Republican in Alabama. North Carolina does, but we do not register by party. You sure do when you go vote. Well, you go when you declare, when you go in, you're getting a Republican ballot or a Democrat ballot. So, and maybe there's something beyond, I don't, you know, I mean, if there was like a carrying out card carrying, I'm not a card carrying member of any party. Van Halen fan club, but that thing's probably past its expiration date. So we'll see. I mean, and hopefully we'll get Paul on to talk about this, and maybe you'll be talking about today at 2 o'clock. We'll go. Okay. Yes. And I did see the, corn dog story. If we want to get to it, 58 million pounds of corn dogs are recalled because wood in the batter. There's got to be an LSU joke in there somewhere. We'll come back to that. I do want to play a cut here as we're looking at government shutdown, right? So that's a big national story here. Possible government shutdown coming up. It looks like if you look at the odds makers out there, they think it's going to happen. Now, is it going to be for 24 hours, 24 days? What goes on? And we've talked about this many times about what gets shut down. I mean, there's always panic. People get their Social Security, right? There's still essential services still run. Every time I've seen one of these shutdowns, people who do not get paid, you know, government workers get all their money at the end of the shutdown. It's not like they don't get their money. They get a vacation, then get the money. But I mean, do I understand it's tough on people if it goes 24 days without paycheck? Sure. If it goes a few days, they get a little vacation, get the money. I mean, you've got a game of chicken going on here, right? On the shutdown, but it looks like it's going to go to a shutdown. Now, what I think is interesting here, too, I'm going to play a clip and we come back from the news. We'll play some more. So what do you do money-wise here? And it's odd that like 2 weeks ago, and I think I put it up on our Twitter feed, at FM Talk 106.5, the story from Reason.com, which is a libertarian website. And it was Rand Paul talking about the penny plan that he's brought up year after year after year on how to deal with this deficit. It comes back up. So he's on Face the Nation yesterday. And here's Rand Paul saying what he thinks about the possibility of a shutdown and what he would do instead of what they're planning on doing. Let's take cut one.
I'm going to go now to the chairman of the Homeland Security Committee, Senator Rand Paul, who joins us from Bowling Green, Kentucky. Good morning to you, Senator.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, I want to start on that news you just heard, that the president is basically expecting a shutdown and possibly to carry out these mass layoffs. Do you think all of this is just a threat to make Democrats fold?
Well, I think both sides have to look at the proposals for spending and decide, you know, what is the best way forward for the country. The Republican proposal adds about $2 trillion in debt over the next year, so it'll be short $2 trillion. So I oppose the Republican plan because it adds debt. The Democrat plan would add $3 trillion in debt. So really, both plans are laden with deficit spending, and I think that's the biggest problem that our country faces. So I've actually proposed an alternative. I've proposed a penny plan, which would cut a little bit across the board, and my plan would balance over about 5 years. We got a vote on mine last week, and 36 Republicans supported it, 16 didn't, and no Democrats did. So my plan didn't pass either. But the plan that I would support would be a plan that reduces spending and reduces deficit spending.
Okay, so there's the other part of this equation, right? And I heard Bradley Jay earlier mention Thomas Massie. Yeah, Thomas Massie's consistent in the House. Rand Paul's consistent in the Senate. When your fix includes more spending, when you're pointing at the debt our country, we the people, owe, maybe it's a time to try to elicit some yeses when you have people kind of over a barrel. You know, pick this up when we come back. Yeah, what's shut down? I mean, the panic thing is out of what all will be shut down for a government shutdown. We'll talk about it.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
By 12:51, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Get a chance to grab that FM Talk 106.5 app. It's free and waiting for you over at the App Store for iOS users and Google Play for Android users. Both places, just look for FMTALK 1065. That's us. Download it there. I had a buddy of mine call me on Saturday. He said, "Hey, man, I'm coming back in from Tennessee. Trying to listen to the Auburn game and listen to it. Just pop the app up and can listen to it right there." I said, "There you go." So listen, it's really cool. A number of people use the app all over the state, but all over the country too. When y'all are out of town working or whatever, once your local news, you get it right there. We appreciate you doing it. All right, Fire Dog said, "I remember beating another school by 50-some points to zero in high school at the half. The coaches and the refs called it." Yeah, I mean, ours was that my one distinct memory is it was, I don't want to talk about the school it was, but I remember the coaches saying, like, plays like snap, fumble snap on two, you know, like we're going to do a fumble snap play, which is burn time. And you know what? That's fine. I thought, even back then, I thought, well, that's a good thing. That's a way to be decent to folks. All right. And goes on to say, "Sean, they won't learn, this Fire Dog. No matter how bad California has gotten, my family will still pull the lever for Harris and Newsom. It has been in the last year, and they all could complain about how the homeless were everywhere. And believe me, Sean, San Francisco and San Jose area, they were on every street corner, every freeway, on-ramp, everywhere. They still won't vote for a Republican." Let's see. Zip on the text line said, "Parmesan cheese has cellulose in it. That's essentially sawdust." Oh, you, the recall? I was just trying to make a LFU joke, but... yeah, 50, I mean, it's, and I don't know what the average, I think the headline here is 58 billion pounds of corn dogs recalled. How much is, can we, how many are those? Like, how much is a corn dog weigh, a quarter pound? How much is a corn dog in weight? Your average corn dog, then we do the math on this. See how many corn dogs we're talking about coming back. And yeah, it's state fair time. This could be dangerous here. You'd be, but you, at least that one, you know, there's the wood, like, so Zip said it could be some of the cheese and the cellulose. It could be the sticks in them. But I don't have one right off the top of my head. But have y'all, remember, like, we'll have a recall of something? It'll be whatever. It's ice cream and somehow has strontium 90 in it or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes there's stuff and you're like, how did that stuff get in the plant to be in the product? This one, at least there's like, okay, I can see how there could be sticks or, like Zip said, the cellulose and the cheese or something like that. But sometimes there's, and I cannot come up with one, but I will Google around. There have been some when the recalls come out and I go, how the heck is that stuff get, how did that like fall in the vat? Joshua said, "I'm interested in a shutdown. I want to see the poop hit the fan. Cry Wolf has been overused on this subject." CB Carl said, "Is that a Van Halen or Van Hagar fan club card?" Oh, it's Van Halen. Not that, I mean, Sammy Hagar, good artist in his own right, but you know, I'm completely David Lee Roth team. Yes. All right, said about the wood and the corn dogs. If you buy shredded cheese, it already has wood in it, being called cellulose for anti-caking agent. So there's a couple of y'all on here that know your way around corn dogs. Let's see. B-Dark says, "What you got against LSU? I'm a Tiger fan." Well, there you go. That's all. There you go, B-Dark. We're back to disagreeing. Back to, I'll be in Tuscaloosa in November to watch that game. Let's see. Ben says, "All over the state, all over the country, and all over the world, at least the parts I've been in." Anyway, was that corn dogs or what? And Terry said, "Okay, the average corn dog, here's, come on, math magicians. Average corn dog," says Terry, "is 2.5 ounces. Okay? 2.5 ounces. So we have 58 million pounds of corn dogs in the recall. Terry goes on to say also, "Some of us still work and don't get paid till the end of the shutdown." That is true. So, I mean, we can break that down. What happens during a shutdown? We've done this. Gosh, you know, think about over the years of the station, how many times we've gone through what the shutdown means, who's affected, How will it affect corn dogs? That's a fair question, right? How does it affect corn dogs? But I have seen this a lot of times, that the shutdown will happen, and then there's, you know, much gnashing of teeth, because I don't want somebody who works for the federal government who didn't do anything wrong not to get their paycheck, right? I mean, it's not their fault that the people in the bicameral folks, House and Senate, can't get it done. But every time I've seen it, and maybe I missed it at some point, but I don't think so. Every time I've seen it, they got all their back pay. Social Security still goes out. You still got that. There are still government workers like Terry and others that are going to be there and not get paid. That stinks. You get your money in arrears, but you still got to go to work. There's a lot who won't have to go to work. I don't know. I mean, there's somebody's passport. I don't know. Passport offices. I think passport offices are funded. I mean, usually the passport office is adjacent to the Postal Service, right? At least the one I'm thinking about. And Postal Service is its own entity, and they don't close. Passports, I think, are funded with fees from that you pay when you get your passport. So I don't think that one's shut down. But yeah, it's going to be, you'll have national parks shut down, that would stink if you had a trip planned to a national park. You have like federal refuges and all those things shut down. Those things would be bad, but usually this stuff comes out 24 hours or 24 days. I don't know. Not long. And then they get it worked out. So, I mean, people were saying, hey, I do want to see the shutdown. I'd like us just to be able to budget correctly. How about that? Oh, and my ChatGPT, whose name Superbomb, said an average store-bought corn dog's weight varies, but a single standard-sized corn dog often weighs 75 to 114 grams, which is 2.6 to 4 ounces, depending on the brand. All right, so we'll have to put this in our math, and we'll come back. Carolyn Dobson joins us when we return from the news.